Earlier this week, you may have seen on the news about the death of this man, Kim Jong-il, North Korea's leader, and his death was announced, and you might have seen the scenes of mourning, incredible, hysterical mourning that went on in this country over the death of this man. He was a remarkable man by all accounts, a very remarkable man, if the North Korean propaganda machine is to be believed. They believe, North Koreans believed, that he could work wonders, that he had a magical ability to control the weather based on his mood. Imagine that. Pyongyang media report that he is a very good golfer. In his first ever round of golf, apparently, they say, he got 5 holes in 1. And achieved 38 under par. And it was not abnormal for him in subsequent rounds to get 4 or 5 holes in 1 in a round. That's just normal. They hail him as a style icon. He has set styles across the world, fashions across the world by his dress sense. So the North Korean media says. Meanwhile, the country lurches from food shortages to power cuts to poor infrastructure to terrible conditions, really. Over 200,000 political prisoners and all kinds of human rights infringements and so on. You know, the truth is, actions speak louder than words. Last week we saw that God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. We looked at the King's Speech, if you remember. And then in John chapter 1, as we've just read, we read there about the Word of God. The Word of God who was with God in the beginning, who was God. The very title Word speaks about communication, doesn't it? The Word, God speaking to us through his Son. Now somebody speaking is all very well, isn't it? But what about putting it into practice? Well, this is what we've just read. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. You see, actions speak louder than words. And here we see the Word in action, the Word becoming flesh. This is the glorious truth of what Christian theologians call the incarnation. God, the enfleshment of God. God becoming man, becoming a human being. In Jesus, God came and identified with us. He became one of us. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. What an action that is. That God, Almighty God, should come down and be born as one of us. That says far more than words could say, can't it? That he should come and stand with us. You know, when Andy, if you were here last Sunday morning, you remember Andy at the end of the service interviewed Luke and Joy. And Joy said something that has stayed with me throughout the week very clearly. She was talking about how at Christmas time, she goes home back to Northern Ireland and how it's there that she feels most comfortable and at home and known. And that's the place she wants to be for Christmas. And she contrasted that with Jesus, who did exactly the opposite, who left his home, who left the glory of heaven to come and live among us. Isn't that an amazing thing? Perhaps you know times in your life when you've been something's happened, a particularly hard time, and you may have received lots of best wishes from people, and that's great. But maybe just one person has come and visited or come and stood by you. And they needn't have said anything, but just that action of coming and being with you says so much. And so we see the Word in action. Paul puts it like this in his famous words in Philippians. Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He didn't use his equality with the Father for his own advantage. Someone has translated this passage. He didn't use that equality with God as an ace up his sleeve to use to win the game. for his own advantage. He had that he laid that advantage by in order to become one of us. Actions speak louder than words. And what actions he did when he was among us, when he was here, all those wonderful miracles, those healings we've seen. And what do they tell us? What do they tell us? What do those actions say to us? Well, first of all, they show us his heart, don't they? They show us what is on his heart. Jesus came and he had compassion for those who were struggling, who were suffering, those who were excluded from their community because of horrible diseases like leprosy. He had compassion on them. And those unable to earn a living and had to beg, he had compassion on them. He looked on the crowds. Do you remember that passage where it talks about him looking on the crowds who were lost and helpless? And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he had compassion. And so he looks on us too today. And he sees so many of us who've lost our way, who are just wandering, lost and lowly. And today, he has compassion on us. If you're feeling like that today, you might feel that nobody cares. The message of Christmas is that Jesus has compassion. He came to stand with us, and he wants to do the same to you today. That is what is on his heart. But more than that, he showed us his power, because he did heal people. He didn't just feel for them. He was able to do something about it. He was able to reverse the effects of a sinful, fallen world in people's lives, remarkably, miraculously. He had power to overcome the things that enslave people, the things that spoil their lives. Well, friends, as we've seen this morning in the story of Uma, his power hasn't changed. And that power, that very same power, can be at work in our lives today. Not necessarily in the miraculous. Jesus can still heal today, and he does still heal. But he doesn't heal everything that we bring to him, because sometimes his power, his glory is seen when we bear our burdens in a way that give him glory. We don't understand that. We can't understand that. Why does he heal here and not there? We can't understand. And it confuses us. But Jesus does have power. That power works in surprising ways. Sometimes it works through weakness. Sometimes it works through hardship. But it's there. And Christians know about this power. God's power to overturn the effects of a fallen world. You know, if you're suffering today, if you're struggling today, particularly today, and you want to see God's power at work in your life, I'd ask you just to stay behind at the end of the service and come and ask somebody to pray with you. Do that. Come down to the front of the church down here and somebody will pray with you. Just ask the Lord's power to be at work in your life. In whatever way he wants to do. But we can do that this morning. But thirdly, Jesus shows us his intent. He shows us his heart, he shows us his power, but he also shows us his intent. You know, those healings that we read about in the New Testament, they improved people's lives for sure, didn't they? They did great things for those people. The healing we heard about today, Uma, well, that improved her life unbelievably. But you know, unless Jesus comes again, Uma will still die at some point in this life. Those people that Jesus healed still died at some point. Remember Lazarus, raised from the dead. Amazing miracle. But he's not still alive. He did die after that at some point. We don't know when. But you see, the thing is this. These signs that we see, that we read about in the New Testament, and we can even see today, they actually point forward to something else. They point forward. They're not the final word. They point forward to what God will do fully when Jesus brings his kingdom in fully. That was what the carol, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear," was pointing towards in the last verse. Jesus has the clear intention of setting right all that is wrong, of healing diseases once and for all, of banishing the things that spoil our lives once and for all. And that's what he will do when he returns. And so we see the Word in action, Jesus, demonstrating God's compassion for us in our weakness and suffering, God's power to do something about it, and God's clear intention to act so that it will not always be like it is now. How did he act at the time? Well, he acted then in a way that we wouldn't have expected, didn't he? Not in great power, but actually by giving his life as a ransom for many. The Apostle Paul goes on in those verses we read earlier. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Sacrificial love. Love that gave his all. Not just a gesture of love, but an act of love that achieved something for us that paid the debt we could not pay. And that great act was followed by another great act. When Jesus was dead in the grave, his Father, God, raised him up. His great power bringing life from the dead. The light of his life overcoming the darkness of the tomb. And Jesus then was seated in the place of power and authority, as Paul goes on to write. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see the therefore there? The therefore that follows on from he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, because that act of self-giving on the cross was actually the fullest revelation to us of who God is. That was his greatest word to us. This is our God. Our God is not someone who lords it over us. Our God is someone who gives himself for us. That's amazing. It is right that we think of his power and his holiness and his glory and his majesty. But our God is most fully defined for us in that act of sacrificial self-giving. And that revelation shows that Jesus deserves all the honor, the place of preeminent glory and honor that is God's alone. That is what the therefore is there for in Paul's hymn. In Jesus, God fully reveals who he is and what God is like. So he deserves that place. And that name that is above every name, Jesus Christ is Lord, nothing less than full deity. He is God. The Word in action. Now here's the thing, the Word in action wants to be in action in our lives today. It's not something he did once and that's it. He wants to be in action in our lives today. God hasn't finished speaking yet. He spoke right at the start of creation. Do you remember when he said, "Let there be light"? Well, now Paul says, God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He's made his light shine in our hearts. The Word in action, bringing life, bringing God's power into our situation. And that is what Christmas is all about. That is what the incarnation is all about. What a present to celebrate. You know, at Christmas sometimes we're given some pretty useless presents, aren't we? Here's someone who had a pretty useless present. You know, other times we're given really useful presents, but we don't use them. Have you got many useful presents at home that you just never used? I wonder if you've seen this advert. Okay, this isn't a message from our sponsors, so I'll talk over this bit. Oh, could we just have the end? Sorry. You know, the tragedy is that so many people think Jesus just looks beautiful, but they put him on the shelf. Maybe they take him down every Christmas, but then back he goes on the shelf again. Jesus, God's Word in action, is waiting to be in action in your life. Forgiving and healing and transforming you into the person he has created you to be, freeing you from the worst effects of a fallen world, making sure that you are fit for eternity for his kingdom that is coming and will come, rather than fit for the grave. Friends, don't put Jesus on the shelf. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he is beautiful. He is wonderful. But we thank you so much that he's not just an ornament. Lord, we want more of Jesus in our lives, more of his power at work transforming us into his likeness, more of his love coming from us to other people, more of your power at work in the nitty-gritty of our lives, building towards the kingdom when Jesus will return and everything will be made good and new and perfect again. Lord, help us. Help us to center our lives on Jesus today, we pray. Amen.